everyone. It's a beautiful Sabbath, and to have all of you here today just makes it very, very special. Thank you for being here, and thank you for the music, thank you for the drama today. We've had a very special Sabbath together. This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and open them to an important passage of Scripture found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, and today I'm reading from the New King James Version. Got it? There we read, "A man who has friends must show himself friendly." Well, today I think it would be appropriate to paraphrase and update this perhaps, and this is my brand new paraphrase of this passage. A church that wants to make friends with families must show itself family friendly. Would you say amen?
Amen.
A church that wants to make friends with families must show itself family friendly. Now, when I was a kid, I enjoyed doing simple scientific experiments. It's a wonder I didn't blow the house up. I mean, I'd get my microscope out and I'd put it on the kitchen table and I'd slide all kinds of things under that to see what they looked like up close. My very favorite thing was onion skins. The pattern that emerged from onion skins fascinated me for some reason. And then when I got bored with my microscope, I'd pull out my chemistry set and I'd mix things up and they'd turn all kinds of weird colors and bubble over the side of the beakers. I think my mother was a nervous wreck out of that, but I didn't blow the house up. The other thing I liked to do was on a very sunny day, I'd go out into the backyard with a magnifying glass and I'd get a handful of dried grass and I'd hold that magnifying glass to it and poof, it would burst into flame. It was amazing how the diffuse light of the sun could be focused through a magnifying glass to get a fire going. And that, my friends, is the power of a shared vision in the life of a church. It has a way of focusing all our energies on a single goal so we can get an important fire going. Now, down through the years, we've had rather diffuse energies going in this church. People with all their good stuff going in all kinds of different directions. But this last fall, our elders came together and they said, you know what? It's time to focus our energies. It's time to focus on one thing. And we decided that what we needed to do was get the whole family together. So one day after a church potluck, we had this meeting and we had this conversation about the things going on in our church that we're really excited about, the ministries that are blessing people all over the place. We talked about our hopes and our dreams for the future of the church. We talked about what it is that we need to focus on. And at the end of that meeting, we all came to the conclusion, we all believed that the Holy Spirit was leading us to make this a more family-friendly church. We want this to be a church where moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas can all come together and know that they are welcomed and loved and accepted and fully integrated into the life of the church. We want this to be a church where the generations can come together to grow up in Jesus Christ. We want this to be a church that is totally inclusive, where the kids and the teenagers and the young adults are just as much as of the life and the worship and fellowship and ministry of this church as the old timers. We want this to be a church where boys and girls grow up in the faith and stay in the faith. And no matter where they may go as adults, where they're doing life and ministry, they will always think of this as their home church. We want this to be the kind of place where young families come to check us out and they say, you know what? It's so good here, we're just going to stay. We want this to be the kind of church where all the wonderful talents that God has poured into this congregation and all the energy that God has poured into this congregation is harnessed and we're all moving together in the same direction. We want to be a family-friendly church. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what makes a church family friendly? What are the qualities or characteristics that go into making a family friendly church? And I've been running this through my thoughts for the last 3-4 months, and there are 4 things that God has impressed upon my heart. 4 things that make a church family friendly. And the first of these is, in a family friendly church, people feel like they belong. So, Jeff, why don't you come on up and help me with this? We're going low tech today and high participation. Go ahead and take a seat up here. Have you all met Jeff before? Jeff and his wife Amy and their boys just moved here from Tennessee about a month ago, and Jeff is a senior research and development engineer for Medtronic. Did I get that all right? Good thing you're on Facebook so I could check it out. Anyway, family-friendly churches have a way of conveying a warm welcome and helping people to become integrated into the life of the church so that they feel like they belong. That goes for the singles, it goes for the young marriage, the moms and dads and kids, the empty nesters, the senior citizens. We want them all to feel like they belong, that they're a vital part of the church family. In a family-friendly church, there's always room for one more person, one more family at the table. Many years ago, there was a young man with this wild bush of hair, and he had this holy t-shirt and ratty jeans, and he was in bare feet, and he decided to step into an upscale conservative church one Sabbath. He walked in, and the place was packed out. There wasn't an empty seat anywhere, so he just wandered down the middle aisle and sat down on the floor right there in the front. And all the prim and proper people in that church said, "This is not right. This is not good. This is not comfortable. We want the guy out of here." So everybody was quite relieved when they heard the shuffling going on from the back. And there they could see the old deacon, George Harlan, silver-haired man in his 80s, making his way down towards the front. George was godly. He was dignified. Everyone in the church loved him. And everyone knew that he was going to get that bum by the scruff of the neck and toss him out. Can you imagine their delight, perhaps, or surprise when old George got down to the front of the church and he dropped his cane down at his side and he folded up his arthritic legs and he sat there beside the young man for the rest of the worship service. That's what I call a friendly church, where everyone is brought in and they're loved and accepted for whoever they might be and wherever they might be in their spiritual journey. Family-friendly churches like to smile a lot. Are you happy today? Have you told your face? Are you smiling? I mean, life is hard enough without people coming to church all grumbly looking. But I'll tell you, family-friendly churches are smiling churches because people are filled with the joy of the Lord and they're so excited about the new people coming to church and the old-timers they've been doing time with for a long time who are so much fun to be with. Family-friendly churches like to smile. And family-friendly churches like to laugh a lot. I mean, they've got this winsome sense of good humor going that helps people to relax and just feel comfortable. There's a sheer winsomeness of the heart that draws them in. In family-friendly churches, people like to talk a lot. They get these conversations going on in the hallway before the worship service, and sometimes probably during the worship service, and they get these long conversations going after the worship service. I mean, after a while, the deacon starts saying, "I might as well bring a sack lunch because it's going to be a while before I can lock the place up." Family-friendly churches have a way of drawing people into the conversation, so they have such a good time. Family-friendly churches like to spend time together, lots of time. That's why they say, "Why don't you come on over to our house for Sabbath dinner?" Or, "We're going to the beach this afternoon. Why don't you join us?" Or, "We're getting a praise team going. Why don't you play your banjo for us?" That's the kind of thing family-friendly churches do. Jesus says, "All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That's the kind of thing that happens in a family-friendly church. There's so much love going around, and people are quickly brought in and integrated into the full life of the church, and people know that they belong. There's a second thing that characterizes a family-friendly church, and that is it's a safe place to be. So Hannah, why don't you come help me with this one? There you go. Family-friendly churches are safe and comfortable places to be. And I think that operates on two different levels. The first of these has to do with the physical level. Family-friendly churches are clean and neat and inviting. The family-friendly churches keep the place comfortable. They don't turn the heat up so high that you think you're, well, you know where. And they don't make it so cold that you could ice skate down the middle aisle. In family-friendly churches, comfortable chairs are provided for people. I know of an Adventist church about 3 hours from here that even has pew booster seats for their little ones. And I think that is so cool because their little legs are a lot more comfortable that way. And instead of spending the whole service looking at the hymnal in front of them or the back of somebody's head, they're right up there where they can be part of the worship service. If anybody says, you know, I think that'd be a good idea for our church, come talk to me. Bring your checkbook with you, too. They're not cheap. They're not cheap because I only know one lady who makes them. In family-friendly churches, the place is kept in good condition. There are no cracks in the sidewalks. There are no rips in the carpeting for people to trip over. People are never having to be assaulted by funny smells like dirty diapers piling up in the trash can or mold on the ceilings. I mean, it's a church like this one that has a nose ministry going on. You know what I mean? You can smell lunch cooking right now, can't you? And it smells good. You ought to stay by. If you have other plans, change them. Because this food's not only going to smell good, it's going to taste good. Family-friendly churches have good signage so new people can find their way around. Family-friendly churches are like contemporary cities of refuge where people can go and they'll know that they will be safe and secure and comfortable there. And that not only holds true on the physical level, it holds true on the relational level as well. Family-friendly churches have a way of welcoming children and protecting them from predators. Family-friendly churches know how to take an awkward, gangly teenager and help them to feel like they fit in. Family-friendly churches know how to take a shy, backward adult and draw them out and get them involved in the Sabbath school class and contributing their thoughts and their ideas and insights with no fear of anyone ever saying to them, "You're wrong. You're dead wrong. Why are you here?" And I've seen that happen in Sabbath schools. Not here, but other places. Family-friendly churches use normal language that normal people use, not insider talk. These are safe places to be. Whether you're here for the first time or the 100th time, you always feel comfortable and welcomed and safe. There's a third quality that goes into making a church family-friendly, and Pat's going to help me with this one. Family-friendly churches provide good support for today's families, and I think that is so important because the quality of life in our families determines the quality of life in our churches. You know what I'm talking about? Families where there's a good, strong, secure marriage and kids are growing up in the love of the Lord and they're secure in the love of their mom and dad, bring all that to church with them. And everybody feels good about that kind of thing. The other thing is this. God has given us a job to do, and that is to help get each other through to the other side. Heaven is our goal, and we don't want a single person missing. We want mom and dad and kids and the rest of the family all there. About 100 years ago, there was a popular Methodist preacher by the name of Clovis Chapel, and he loved to tell the story of these two paddle boats. They left Memphis about the same time, and they're making their way down the Mississippi River with their cargo for New Orleans. They weren't far from each other. They had left the same time, traveling about the same speed, and the two crews began to talk back and forth, and one said to the other, "I think you're about the pokiest boat on the river," and the other decided to throw back the insults, and back and forth they went until finally they had themselves in a race. They were in a race to see who would get to New Orleans the first. Well, one boat began to fall behind because it had enough coal to make the trip, but not enough fuel for a race. So one of the sailors took some of the cargo and began to throw it into the oven. And when he discovered that it burned just as good as the coal, he took all the rest of the cargo and threw it into the oven as well. Well, that boat won the race. It won the race all right, but it failed to deliver the goods. It failed to deliver the cargo they had been hired to take through to New Orleans. And the point of the story is this. God has entrusted to us precious, precious cargo. Our spouses, our husbands, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our church family. He has entrusted us with this precious cargo. And he says, I want you to help get it safely through to the other side. And that's part of the job of a family-friendly church. There are two things that come to my mind when it comes to supporting that kind of thing. The first of these has to do with the support of Adventist education. Let's talk about that for a moment. I think the family-friendly Seventh-day Adventist Church needs to take a strong position on the subject of Adventist education. And we need to remind ourselves why we're in this business. Seventh-day Adventist schools exist for the purpose of partnering with Adventist moms and dads and Adventist churches in the salvation of our children. That's what it's all about. That's the bottom line in all of that. And in this church here in Healdsburg, we put a high value on our kids. We put a high value on their salvation. And because of that, we put a high value on Adventist education. That's why we send our kids to Redwood Adventist Academy. That's why we send our kids to Rio Lindo Adventist Academy. That's why we send our kids to the Cloverdale Adventist School. That's why we have our kids in homeschool and other Adventist schools, because we value the nurture that they get there so that they can become mature, productive citizens in this world and secure a place in heaven at last as they trust in Jesus as their Savior. Now, you will be interested to know that this church puts more than half of its church budget each month into subsidizing our constituent school, Redwood Adventist Academy. And I want to thank you for your generous, consistent, faithful gifts there that enable us to do that. I also want to say a great big thank you to the volunteers who roll up their sleeves to go the extra mile. I think, Rob, you could take us a long ways on this one. But we have people who are there mowing the grass and helping to run the office and doing PTA work and taking kids on field trips and all the rest. Thank you so much. And one more thing this church is so good at, and that is to help to sponsor kids, families that need a little extra assistance in order to make it happen. This year, we have 8 of our children who are getting assistance with their education. This is a year that we have put out $8,642 to do that. And I thank you for providing those funds so that we can do that. At the same time, I'm going to just tell you flat out, next year's coming. Next August, we'll have a whole new crop of kids who will need help. And between now and then, we're going to need to raise $8,000 or $9,000, perhaps as much as $10,000 to be ready to go. So when the children's offering is collected each week, thank you for your generosity. And when the regular offering is collected, thank you for putting a gift that's marked on there, because we're going to need a heap of money to take care of those kids come next August. The other thing that we can do to communicate support for families is to provide consistent, high-quality family life education here in our church. We need to do that from the pulpit. We need to do that with conferences and seminars. We need to do that with small groups and support groups. We need to do that with books and media resources available from our church library. Today's families are facing tough, tough challenges. And we want the marriages in our church to be solid. We want the parent-child relationships to be solid. We want families to be strong and whole and make it through to the other side. There's one more thing that I believe characterizes a family-friendly church. And Dorley, you're going to help us with this one here. Thank you so much. Family-friendly churches support the spiritual growth of their members. That is just the most important thing we do. That is why Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Folks, that is our marching orders. And our mission begins in the family. It begins in the home with husbands and wives helping each other to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. With moms and dads encouraging their kids to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more important than helping every member of the church family to grow in their relationship with Jesus. Three things come to my mind here of how we can do that. One is to provide sparkling Sabbath schools for all our kids from the beginners on through the youth. And sparkling Sabbath schools for all of our adults from the 20-somethings all the way through the 90-somethings. And this is not a time for just superficial, entertaining kinds of things. We want substance. We want growth. We want our members to become mature Christian believers. And that requires that we help each one, each Sabbath, make that vital connection with Jesus Christ through good, solid, substantive, well-thought-through teaching from the Scriptures. Next thing I can think of is what we're doing right now. The Sabbath morning worship service is when the whole family gathers together like no other time of the week. And in this church, we want our worship services to be fully cross-generational. We want families sitting together. We want the whole family here, whatever their age might be. And we want each one, no matter their age, engaged fully in the worship experience. And what's more, we want represented among our worship leadership people from the various generations, young and old and in between. And that's going to require something of us. That's going to require that our pastor, our elders, our deacons, our musicians, and all the rest do the hard work it takes to get on the phone and coordinate with each other and recruit the people that represents that kind of diversity and get them up here helping us in worship leadership roles. One more thing here, and that is in a family-friendly church, we recognize that God has called every believer to ministry, and we're going to help our kids find their place in God's service. That's why we want to get good at ministry mentoring. We want to team seasoned adults up with kids so that they can learn how to lead a worship service, so they can learn how to run the sound booth, so they can learn how to get a dinner on the table, so they can learn how to teach a Sabbath school class, so they can learn how to maintain a church facility, so they can learn how to share their faith in Christ with a friend. Service for Christ is such an integral part of growing up and becoming mature in Christ. And we want every church member, every believer here to have that experience from our little ones all the way on through. Well, thanks, volunteers. Appreciate your help. I'll let you go back to your seats here as we wrap it up. Thank you. So, that's my picture of a family-friendly church. And you will notice that it's been painted in very broad strokes. This is not a day for rolling out programs. This is a time to paint the broad strokes, and we have painted them in these four ways. Number one, a family-friendly church extends a warm welcome and integrates people into the family very quickly so that they feel like they belong. Number two, family-friendly churches are like modern cities of refuge. They are safe and comfortable places to be. Number three, family-friendly churches support today's family and their big picture needs. And number four, family-friendly churches help every member of the family to grow strong in Christ. Those are the broad strokes. Now, it's time for you to fill in the details. Here's your assignment. Sometime between now and the next 2 months, sometime between now and, say, the end of March, early part of April, I'd like you to get together with your ministry team. If you're an elder, get together with the elders, the deacons, so forth, the deaconesses. I want every team in this church, ministry team, to get together and ask the question, what can we do as a ministry team to help this become a more family-friendly church? I want the greeters to get together and ask themselves that question. I want the social committee to get together and say, hey, how can we help our socials? How can we help our Albion weekends to be more family-friendly? I want the Sabbath school departments, each of the leaders, to get together with their team and ask, how can we help our Sabbath school to be more family-friendly and more inclusive? Please do that. Develop some concepts, some ideas, and then put action plans to them. Just get it done. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do is this. Is to go home, and over the course of the days and weeks to come, prayerfully ask God to impress upon your heart how you as an individual can help us to become a more family church. What will it be for you? Maybe God will call you to team up with Doc and have chocolates there every week for the kids. I knew you'd like that. Maybe you'll mean having stickers to give the kids. Maybe you'll mean just getting down at eye level with those kids and talking about their puppy dog, their dolly, what's going on at school. What can you do to support moms and dads? What can you do to support grandmas and grandpas in this church? How can you as an individual help support a family-friendly church? Develop an action plan. Make it happen. And through it all, keep in mind that a church that wants to make friends with families must show itself family-friendly. Let's pray together. Father God, it feels so good to call you our Father and to know that we are your family. Lord, we're grateful that your Spirit is at work in this wonderful church, where friendliness is not just something we talk about, but something we do and something we are, and we just have this wonderful sense of connectedness. We are so blessed. But today, we feel a yearning for more. Lord, I pray that you will keep the fire under our feet, that you will keep us focused, that you will press us together in unity to accomplish this focus, this mission that you've entrusted to us. May this be a church of growing family friendliness and growing faith and light for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.